Well, welcome back. And Terry and I, two Spartans, are welcoming my second favorite, next to my mom, Wolverine in the world. You are.
Thank you.
So
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Sarah Hubbard, who's one of the principals here at Acuitas and a regent also at the University of Michigan, which we'll get to. Thanks for coming
Go
today.
Blue. Absolutely. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
What do you? I can't respond to that.
I can't either.
I got nothing, as they say. My nephew's there, so you know that. I
Okay.
took him to dinner
Yes,
down there, and
yes.
he's enjoying it. So let's start with your role as a private citizen and one of the people who is a consultant who's watched this capital and what goes around in the state of the states for many years now. What's going to be different about this speech? What could be different? Times are different, but what are your thoughts on what we might hear tonight?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the governor really striking a tone of bipartisanship. And I know you've heard that consistently throughout the show today, but there's no other way to go about it. We have a Republican-led House now, Democrat-led Senate, and of course, a Democrat senator. And so everything we do here is going to be bipartisan. And I expect we're going to get some of the best policies out of this legislature that we've had in a long time. I've been doing this for about 35 years, and I can tell you that some of the best, most thoughtful policies and new laws come out from a very strong spirit of bipartisanship. And I think we've already heard from some of the previews from the speech that she's going to be talking about themes that resonate with both sides of the aisle, talking about, making it easier for businesses to do business and cutting red tape for permitting or maybe even refunds. But certainly she's a Democrat. She's going to be true to her values, and she's going to be looking at things that appeal to the leaders in the Senate and appeal to 50% of the people in the state of Michigan. We know we're purple, so everybody needs to strike that tone of centrist.
Well, roads have certainly found their way into a lot of the previous speeches, and we expect they will again tonight. So, where do you see the road funding conversation heading here in the next couple of
Well,
months?
we all want the best roads available and no barrels. So that is the trickiest thing to balance. But we're going to need more to do more. And I think what we're seeing is early responses from a number of Republicans is to say we don't want to look at any new taxes or fees. Early responses, early proposals from the governor would say, well, we need more revenue to get this done. So I think there's going to be some middle ground out there eventually. Again, everybody wants good roads and everybody knows they have to pay for it. The big question, though, is, how much longer can we really survive on just the gas taxes? EVs are becoming more and more popular, and EVs are paying a very significant price and their registration fees right now. But we need to be sure that everybody's in the mix here going forward. Also, sometimes Republicans are more likely to look at new sources of revenue if they can cut somewhere else. So think about that too. I've been doing this a long time, and I've never seen a Republican majority that didn't look at cutting the personal income tax. So, just stay tuned. Let's see. Long way to go in this discussion.
So we definitely have a tone of collaboration, and there's a good vibe in the air here today. There's no question about it. And we've had couple great weeks would come off of bipartisan collaboration, but there's still rhetoric about things like maybe budget disagreements and shutting things down and walking away. Do you see that, and how do we get through that?
Well, the Constitution requires we have a budget finished by October 1 of this year, and I am confident we're going to meet that deadline. I have been part of one very, very short government shutdown at the state level, and it was not fun. So I'm optimistic that we are going to find middle ground, but I'm not certain that we're going to find it early. Maybe we'll find it for schools early. So schools in particular like to know what their budgets are before school starts, and I don't blame them. I mean, I would like to know that too if I were them. So I am hopeful we'll at least get that done and find agreement before summer break, but I wouldn't hold my breath on some of the other budget issues until September. But again, they could surprise me, and I'd love to see it.
But it will get done.
It will get done. It has to get done.
Right.
We're here with Sarah Hubbard, principal of Acuitas and a regent at the University of Michigan. Speaking of the University of Michigan, and by the way, my wife is an alum and a booster, and she's even taken me to the Chrysler Center on Sunday for a game. So I'm a Spartan, but I know where my bread's buttered.
My husband's a Spartan too, by the
Okay,
way.
that
So I,
mixed, you know this.
Well,
my
my
dad,
dad went to
my
state and my
dad's a,
mom went to
yeah,
Michigan,
my
so
dad's a Spartan. My
here
business
we go.
partner is a Spartan. I live in the Lansing area.
Right.
I'm surrounded.
It can be done.
So let's talk a little bit about the University of Michigan. You were elected in 2020 as a regent, a Republican regent, and you have since been elected to chair of the board. Wow. And then how has this board been working with President Ono on his goals of using U of M as an economic development tool for the entire region?
Yeah, so I served as chair of the board for a year. Kathy White is now the chair. We rotate that. And yeah, thank you for that intro. It's the honor of my life to serve as a regent for the University of Michigan. I co-chaired the search for President Ono, and we are so thrilled to have him. He's a guy who was president of two other public universities before he came to us and got what I want to call his dream job. So we extended his contract recently, and we hope to keep him until he's done being a president. His interest in economic development and tying the state's needs in that regard to the University of Michigan is like no other president we've had, at least in modern history. It's so important. The University of Michigan is such a driver of research. We get about $2 billion a year from the federal government in research, and we want to keep that, by the way. We can talk about that another day if you want, but that tie to economic development and the kind of things that the university can do in the state is incredible, and it's a untapped resource.
So picking up on that, and this is a theme we've heard from all of our guests today about the importance of education and infrastructure, and we've heard the word innovation come up quite a bit. You know, the chamber has been working with the University of Michigan and developing this corridor between the two, and there's five innovation districts coming to life in Detroit. But what is the role of universities and how do you in innovation? And then how do you see Michigan moving forward with investing more in innovation?
Well, the University of Michigan Center for Innovation, currently under construction in Detroit, is a really important piece of the puzzle there. And we recognize the need to take the university where the employers are and to make sure that we are bringing forth stackable credits and credentials and things that can help our workforce base get even better, do even more, and stay here in Michigan. And I think we have a lot of ideas on other kinds of things we can do to support innovation, both in Ann Arbor and in that corridor. And, you know, some of them are a little bit in the stay tuned category right now, but just know that the leadership of the university is keenly focused on innovation and in investing in it for our region and for the better of our business community and our economic development.
So I'm going to switch gears. So Dusty May, great hire.
Love Dusty.
Just double down or triple down or quadruple down. And a great game last week, but we had another one coming up. We know where you're late. We know where we're standing on that one, but it's healthy to have that rivalry too. I mean, it's good. And we play twice in basketball. There's hockey games that have been played, but you go to most of those, don't you?
Yeah, too bad we can't play twice in football.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, give us I'm not sure
Big
right now I want to play twice in football.
Yeah, well, no, I am a sports enthusiast, and anybody who knows me or sees me at our games knows it. And I go to all our home football games. I go to almost all our home basketball and hockey games. I'll be going to a number of away games. I was at the Ohio State game on the field when we won both this last year and before. Love it. Love Dusty May. Love our coaches. Love Sharon Moore. Love Brandon Nerado. They're all great.
Sarah.
We definitely have that Ohio thing in common.
Right.
Between
yes.
Our.
We can't thank you enough for hosting us. Your team has been amazing to work with. Your facility is wonderful. So thank you, Sarah Hubbard, principal of Acuitas. And I also want to thank the team that made this happen today. Glenn and I have had a blast doing this, but we couldn't have done it without Ray Templin sitting right across the desk here and without Danielle Mason and Mike Parsons back at the Golden Tower of the Fisher Building. The legendary Ann Thomas is right across the way here. And we just really, really, really want to thank everyone for listening, and thank you again.
Thank you.
Thanks. Have a great day.
JR Afternoon with Chris Renwick is next.